Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey. Hey,
hey, hey, hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Do you find yourself guessing when the Sal Open starts, which one it's going to be?
Yeah.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I always kind of say to myself, filling up, like it's going to be that one, this one. But, you know, often it is not. There are three, I believe.
Yes.
At least three.
Yes.
Sal, do you do that? You wonder which one it's going to be?
I do sometimes, actually, yeah.
That seems like we all do.
What
that.
Was your money on today?
Yeah.
Sorry, just kidding.
Where were you leaning today?
Ooh. I didn't think about it today, but I would not have guessed that one. I would probably have guessed the restaurant open from Saturday Night Live.
Okay. All right. Keep everybody guessing here. So, just saw your tweet coming on the show to discuss all the Bills news from today. Let's just get into it. I think Keon Coleman is number one here. Did we really learn anything today about where this is headed?
No, I don't think we learned much. I think we can read into a lot of whatever we want, right? I think if you want to be optimistic about it, there are definitely reasons to be optimistic. If you want to be pessimistic about it, there are definitely reasons to be pessimistic. So I don't think we learned much new today than we kind of didn't know yesterday.
Which is that he could end up missing multiple games, but isn't yet officially out for this game, right?
That's correct. Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay.
Ongoing tests, still having further evaluations on the wrist injury. It could be something that could linger beyond this week. It could be more than 1 week. However, he's not even officially declared out of this week yet, to be quite honest with you. So now, look, I would tell you this, though, to be on the pessimistic side of that particular equation. You don't have to declare anybody out on Wednesday for a game on Sunday. That doesn't have to happen until Friday if you know the player is going to be out. Yes, I know they've declared players out before, and that has happened. I remember Terrell Bernard and Taron Johnson weeks ago. Hey, they're out. They're not going to play. We kind of knew that already. So they could choose to do that, but if maybe Sean McDermott, you know, I'm guessing he truly doesn't know. Maybe he has a thought one way or the other of where it will ultimately wind up, but it does him no good to make definitive statements if that's the case.
Still doing testing and evaluations, though. I wonder, Sal, I think earlier I neglected that part of it and felt like, oh, well, they're not going to IR him. He doesn't need surgery. They're in the clear. But if they're still determining a course of action, which is potentially what some of that could mean, then maybe all of that is still in the window.
I would agree with that. I mean, you never know. This could still have any number of outcomes. There could be, you know, obviously with a wrist, it might be different. But a lot of times you hear about, well, you have to wait for swelling to go down before you get accurate, you know, reads. You could have x-rays that are just, you can't really tell whether there's something in there. Their MRIs, same thing. So, yeah, I think there's still a whole number of outcomes that are very possible with this situation. But if you want to be on the optimistic side, here we are, you know, 3 days after this happened, and we already had one guy that did have wrist surgery that was injured on Sunday, Tawan Smoot. He's on injured reserve. He was, you know, he's going to have wrist surgery. That didn't happen with Keon Coleman, and the team is still talking about, you know, what he's still possibly available. And if you want to be on the optimistic side, Sean McDermott did not say he's week to week. He didn't say he's day to day, but he didn't say he's week to week either. So, you know, I guess you could look at this a lot of different ways here.
Yeah, and Dwayne Carter was quick to like That's surgery correct. And IR, right? When he also suffered yep. a wrist injury. Again, you already said it, but like every injury is different, so we don't know. How big a deal? Like if Coleman, like I feel like I'd be pretty surprised, Sal, if he played this week with the way all that sounds, taking all this into account here and just trying to, you know, get a read of it. If he doesn't play, think how big a loss here. I mean, they got by without Cooper last week. I feel pretty good about him playing. He participated today, so that's good news. Coleman, I feel like the arrow's been pointing almost directly up for a few weeks here.
Yeah, I think it'd be a big blow for that reason. The biggest reason is for him personally and what he's done for this offense, how he's fit in lately, really where the trust factor is between him and Josh Allen. Obviously, they had the misstep he did. He had the misstep on Sunday, which just, you know, yeah. resulted in an interception by Jalen Ramsey. But, you know, otherwise, I think he's looked really good. He's becoming a much more complete receiver lately. And the addition of Amari Cooper has really helped him as well. And even without Cooper, he, you know, played a decent game on Sunday. But when you saw Cooper on the field with him the week before that, 2 weeks before that, you know, that's when he really started to thrive and he's really started to step up his game. So, yeah, I do think that. I just think overall for the player, the more reps he gets, the better he's going. The arrow is definitely pointing up. For sure. And when you talk about, and I'm sure we can talk about both these guys, Amari Cooper and Christian Benford, Amari Cooper was limited today. So yes, he did practice, but let's remember he practiced every day last week and right. he did not play. So and today was a walkthrough. So it's basically an estimation of if it was a full practice, what would have happened with a lot of these guys. But you know, Amari Cooper last week was limited all week, did not play. And he starts off this week limited.
Walkthroughs on Wednesday. And this is not like a casino promotion or anything, but walkthroughs on Wednesday, is this the norm now? Like it's week 10? Is it something? I guess I don't track this.
It's not a short week or anything or right. a weird week.
That they get to more often as the season gets later?
Yes. And Sean McDermott actually said that today, that now that here they are in week 10 and they just want to kind of, you know, I don't know what the word he was. He'd have to go back and use the word he exactly did, but, you know, give their bodies a rest, give their mm-hmm. bodies a little bit of a break. You know, they're in the middle of the season here. It's week number 10. They haven't had their bye week yet, right? You have your bye week coming up in a couple of weeks. So I wouldn't be surprised if this week and next week, and then maybe after the bye, maybe you don't see it as much, but then they probably get back after it. But yes, this is something they've done in the past, or in at least later in the year. I'm not sure exactly when, you know, each week it started.
You know, you guys have already gone back and forth on it. At the same time, sort of oddly, I feel like Cooper, or rather Coleman, it's a big story. Like, just if he misses time and what that is. But I also know, like, it was one catch last week. You know, like, it's not Diggs, you know, where somebody was just, like, so integral in the offense. So that's kind of tough for me to figure out. And I guess that's, in a way, to the Bills' credit, Sal, for, you know, being this team that they have set out to be this year with all these different players. I looked up earlier, 10 different players have caught touchdown passes already for them this year. It was 13 in 2020, and we all made a big deal out of that. Like that was just, I don't know if it was a record, but it's so many different guys. They're at 10 through 9 games. And that does not include Samuel, by the way, which is its own story. So I don't know. I'm wondering, just like Bulldog was, how important, to use one word, Coleman is.
It's a good question. And when Bulldog asked me that, that's why I said specifically more than anything for him and how really his arrow is pointing in the offense. And you hate to see this because the development is certainly there. And every week he's getting better. But you're right, from a game plan schematic standpoint, I don't think it's like this true drop-off right now where, oh my God, they're without him. You know, I think a couple weeks ago in Seattle, you saw a big difference without DK Metcalf with the Seattle Seahawks, right? Him in the lineup and out of the lineup is a big difference. I don't think that's Keon Coleman right now. But I would say if it's Keon Coleman and Amari Cooper, now you're talking about, hey, mm-hmm. where's the separation come from? It's going to be easier to defend them. So I just think, you know, stacking these guys, as long as you have, if you have Amari Cooper out there, that would help a lot. If neither of them out there, I think that's for sure. But you're right, Mike. I mean, there are other guys. Khalil Shakir being healthy is a big deal, obviously. Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox has had some catches lately. It'd be really nice if Curtis Samuel could step up into a, you know, reliable role at some point here that we haven't seen yet. And then, you know, if they really had to, they could dip into the practice squad, which if he doesn't play this week, I'm guessing that would happen because you're down to four receivers. So that's Tyrell Shavers, that's Jalen Virgil, KJ Hamler, Deion Kane.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline with us here on WGR, going over the goings-on at One Bills Drive as they get ready to travel to Indianapolis for a 1 o'clock game on Sunday afternoon. How about the rest of the injury list? Benford was a full go?
Yeah. Yeah, Christian Benford is listed as a full participant at today's practice. The only player who did not practice today on the estimated injury report, because it is a walkthrough, and obviously he didn't do much in the walkthrough, he didn't do anything, is Keon Coleman. Everybody else practiced in some capacity. Samuel is still limited with the pec. You still had Amari Cooper limited, Kyer Elam limited with the shoulder injury, and Reggie Gilliam limited. But you're right, Christian Benford then goes into the full category with a whole bunch of other guys who are listed as full, which is really great news. And even better for me is, after practice, we spoke with him, and he said, two interesting things he said. First of all, he said he does not know exactly when the injury occurred, but he had been playing through it for a few weeks, a few weeks, but it wasn't like the last game. It's not like something happened last game. It's something he had been playing through, actually, which was interesting. But then, you know, he was asked, like, what sort of limitations does it give you? And he said, I don't have any anymore. He said, there are no challenges now. I'm straight. Like, I'm good. So that's obviously good news from his own mouth, saying that, you know, like, he feels like there's nothing he can't do and he's ready to go.
This is Benford?
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, so we had a caller earlier, Sal, that was kind of miffed by what he told us was a Sean McDermott answer to a question about Cooper. Mm-hmm. And Bulldog and I separately each had, like, it hasn't been that many opportunities yet, but at different times have sort of thought McDermott might have been a little bit, I don't know, I just have to use some word for this, unexcited about him, or just, I don't know what it is. You think it's maybe a stretch to get there yet? Was there anything about how McDermott has talked about Cooper today or another time that's sort of confused you or made you interested in this?
No, not at all. I think there's two things at play. I understand, like, wow, how anybody can listen to a press conference and think that, but you have to know who the person is giving the message, right? And that's Sean McDermott in this case, which Sean McDermott, one of his basic core philosophies when you listen to any press conference is he always puts the team first. And, you know, if you're asking about a player, he might give you a nice answer about a player, but he'll say, like a lot of our players. He'll say, like a lot of our young guys, like everybody on the team. He uses those phrases a lot. And I think that when he answers a question about Amari Cooper and him coming here and fitting in, what have you seen from him? He doesn't go overboard in any of these things because for him, to him, and this is me interpreting it because I've covered him for so long now, he does not want to place unneeded expectations on people. I think that's where it comes from. It's a space of, well, yeah, like everybody, he's doing a good job, right? He doesn't want to say, like, yeah, he's doing a great job. And, you know, then to me, like, I think what he feels is he's singling people out, and that puts more expectation. That puts that player above the team as well. And he's just very conscious not to do that. And if anybody gets frustrated by that, I understand it. That's fine. That's just his way of doing things. Secondly, you're dealing with a player here who is very unassuming. Amari Cooper is one of the quietest dudes I've ever been around in a locker room, guys. He's super nice. He doesn't, like, talk much. You approach him, he's very kind and soft-spoken. It's really wild, actually, considering what position he plays.
Right, he's like the non-wide receiver of all time, it sounds like.
It's unbelievable. So I'm guessing, too, that's part of it, which is, yeah, that's the way he is. So that's the way that I'm going to kind of treat it when it comes to him and talking about him and his personality.
Yeah, I thought, Mike, just to address that,
yeah,
like when they made the trade, you did get hung up on something, just to how he said it. He didn't sound excited about it. And I remember, we didn't argue about it, but my pushback on it was, he doesn't want to say he's so thrilled to have Amari Cooper here because it's going to make everybody else look bad. Like, sort of along with Sal's thinking here, like, the whole team. Like, how does it sound to Khalil Shakir and Keon Coleman and Curtis Samuel if the coach is like, thank God Amari Cooper's here to save us, right? So that's why I thought he sounded that way when they acquired
him. I think Sean intentionally does that, but yes, I could totally understand anybody thinking that they'd want more. He goes a little too far like that, but that's just his MO. That's the way he talks, the way he always has, where he is very careful about not placing anyone above the team. It's always about the team with him. And that's just, listen, here's a great example today. What he was asked about Jordan Phillips coming back. And instead of talking about, like, Jordan Phillips, the player, which he did a little bit, he really said about how when players want to come back here, it speaks to what we've built here in our culture. Like, that was the answer, because it's about the team and the culture, not about the player.
Let's talk about that then. Phillips and Quentin Jefferson, do you feel like these are good moves? Is it a desperation situation? Are these players that, based on where they're at in their careers, you would expect to be able to make a difference?
Desperate, I don't know if I'd use that word. I would say that it's familiarity, which gets them here more than, you know, oh my God, we got to get these guys. You know, you could have had other guys out there who had the same kind of profile. Look, if Jordan Phillips and Quentin Jefferson don't get released, the Bills aren't trading for them, right? And like, right. It's not like they targeted having to get these guys, but this is what the Bills do. These guys are out there. They need a little bit of help. They had two roster spots. What do they like to do? And it makes sense. Get guys who understand the system. Get guys who you don't have to onboard super quickly. They can literally play this week and they'll be fine. They'll understand exactly what their role is, exactly what's asked of them. And on top of that, I mean, right now they are struggling to stop the run. So obviously you have kind of a specific need that's meeting what you want as well, which is you have two roster spots to fill for two defensive players. That's Dwayne Carter and DeJuan Smoot. And, oh, by the way, you haven't been great at stopping the run. It just makes sense that you got to go out and get guys that you feel could be pretty good at that, and that would make sense at guys that are, you know, can help you. So do I think they can make immediate impact? I think, I guess impact is the question, what the word means, Mike, but I would say that it would not stun me to see both of them playing on Sunday in a rotation.
Yeah. I don't have much to offer on Jefferson. Like, I know he was here, but I don't feel like there was anything yay or nay that really stood out one way or the other for me. Mm-hmm. Phillips has always been, to me, Sal, a guy who is capable of making an impact, making flash plays. I feel like he goes so hard that, and especially as he gets older, this gets harder, I think. I think he goes so hard that he just breaks.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a good point. We've seen that a couple times. Remember, he was chasing, was running back trying to block a pick six. Like, the Bills had a pick six. It was Matt Milano, I believe, against Tennessee a few years ago. I think that was it. He's trying to block for him, and he pulls his hamstring because he's trying to block. He pulled his hamstring running around trying to chase down a quarterback, like, all over the field. Like, that's exactly what he does. This guy's a gamer. He just wants to go out there and help his team. But you're right. I mean, you know, at his age and his body, there's only so much that can take. John Scott, our buddy from WGRZ Channel 2, said something really good today that I thought was on point. He said, look, Jordan Phillips, you know, we're talking about him, where he's been, not making an impact in Dallas. He said, but Jordan Phillips has always been the best version of himself in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And I agree with that. Like, you look at his career, what he's done everywhere. He's clearly had the best years of his career when he's been in Buffalo. And he's gone elsewhere and he's come back even. And that was the case in two different stints since he's been here. This is his third time here with the Bills. Right. I agree with that. I also asked him today specifically, was the defense you were running in Dallas a lot different or very similar to the one here in Buffalo? I thought his answer was super interesting. He said, totally different, but he was still doing his thing. Like you said, I played my style, but the defense was totally different than here. That tells me that it wasn't a great fit for him in Dallas, so maybe that's part of it as well.
Seeing as you mentioned one of your TV buddies, what does your podcast partner from Channel 7, Matt Bove, seem to have in the holster about Micah Hyde?
You know, I told him today, we did a podcast. I said, Matt, people keep asking me if you have, like, inside info on Micah Hyde or what, because you, this is, I don't know if you guys know, we've talked about this. This has been a running bit between me and Matt for months. So I'll just give you the backstory. Back in training camp, Matt would come on the podcast and say, oh, they're bringing Micah Hyde back. It's coming back. And I would say, well, they might, but it's not happening for quite a while. And then he would literally want, he would basically say, it's happening week two. It's happening week three. Like, he's been convinced for months that this is happening. And I've always had this, like, pushing back on him to a point where we were, like, I guess friendly fighting. There were people saying, you guys fight about this. We weren't fighting, but I would say, I just don't see it happening. Not anytime soon. The Bills aren't going to do that. They want to play the guys they have. And if they have to do that, then they will. However, now, I think because
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of, as Matt said on the podcast today correctly, which I agree with him now, the clues we have here about Mike Edwards being released, maybe needing another safety, you know, all of the him still them not adding at the deadline, him still being out there, it would make sense now, and I agree. Now we are in the window where that could possibly happen. I'm still not going to go as far as him because he's still convinced it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I just think that it wouldn't surprise me at all if it happened.
We're never wrong. We're only early. Don't forget. We're never wrong. We're only early.
How much do they need him, do you think, Sal? Like, is there how much of a need? I feel like the safeties have been, I don't know, is okay? Is that a good? Is that good enough? Is okay good enough? Like, I don't know if Hyde at this stage of his life, you know, is someone that I would look at as an upgrade. He's a more familiar name. I think he would give us comfort, but I don't know. I wonder about, you know, I thought all summer that they could get better at safety after the older guys stepped away.
It's a great point and question, and I go back and forth on that. Look, I as I said in the pod with my Matt today, and by the way, everybody can go listen to that podcast we did today when we heard all the news. I said, you know, if you bring Micah Hyde in here, he's not coming here to sit the bench, right? He's coming here to start. And is it, right now, they're comfortable with what they've had. And I'll go so far to say that, and you say they've been okay, or however word you
fine.
Just used, right?
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, they've been fine. Sean McDermott, I believe, last week said it's been one of the more consistent groups on the team, like positions, on defense at least. And I agree with that. I mean, they really had one breakdown, and that was when the rookie had to play. One thing that needs to be said here is, Damar Hamlin has had a nice season, guys. Like, he's played well. Like, he's ranking very highly in a lot of the analytics metrics and all the little things. He just isn't a flashy player, and he's not making, like, he has two interceptions, but, like, it's not like he made incredible plays on the ball. Now, I'm not here to tell you that that's going to continue every week. I wouldn't even be stunned if Cole Bishop by the end of the year still starts over Damar Hamlin. I'm not the one going to tell you that. But I think it needs to be recognized because that's what's happening here and why Mike Edwards is no longer a Buffalo Bill. The reason Mike Edwards is no longer a Buffalo Bill is he couldn't beat out Damar Hamlin because after all the injuries, he's trying to make up the gap. If he was better than him, he'd be on the field right now. This is not some agenda by the Buffalo Bills organization to put Damar Hamlin on the field. I challenge anyone to go find me film to tell you this is why Damar Hamlin shouldn't be starting. Because I just watched stuff from Cover One today from Eric. He does a great job showing all the things he is doing right and why he's playing.
And they're still keeping the safeties very deep.
Right.
Like they have the highest rate of passes allowed to running backs. Achan was this on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And that's just a byproduct of how the Bills align. All right, Sal. Thanks for your time. Any questions for us?
What do you think about the college football playoff rankings?
I'd watch every one of those games.
I wouldn't.
You said us, so I'm waiting for your answer, Mike.
I didn't even see them. I don't even know what they are. There are more teams this year, right? Is it 12?
Yeah, I looked at the bracket yesterday, like the projected bracket, mm-hmm. and I was like, I think I'd watch every one of these games. Like I just said, this all looks pretty good. They're not all great, but like interesting enough, I'd say.
I'll go with Bulldog. I don't know if I'll watch these games or all of them, but good matchups.
I'm just really glad you asked me to ask you because we literally had a conversation today in the locker room from another media member who said, are Mike and Chris going to ask you for any questions today? And I said, let's come up with a good one. And that's the one we came up with.
Yeah, right. I mean, I basically was stumped. I mean, I couldn't even give you a playable answer.
Amazing.
On that, but
I love it.
I'm glad that
there's a story here I want to tell you if I have 1 second, if I have a minute, okay? I know
you
got to get to break. So, okay, I'll bring it up. It's John Scott again. John, he loves listening. He's a regular, he's a P1 for you guys, right? And he's always like, Mike and Chris, you know, they ask do you have any questions for us? So when you guys used to have Micah on every week, right? Micah Hyde used to come on your show every week. And John told him one time, like, hey, you know, Mike and Chris, when you go on the radio, like today or whatever it was, like, they're going to ask you that. And I get Micah didn't realize that you do that sometimes. So then Micah's like, wait a minute, they do? And John Scott told him, like, yeah, like they always say, do you have any questions for us? And Micah said, that's great. I'm going to have to come up with something. And the next week he had a question for you guys.
Yeah, he did a couple times. Yeah.
That's right. So you could thank John Scott for that. There you go.
Thank you, John Scott. And that's Mike's thing. I don't. It was tough great. Enough. There was one day earlier this year where I used his phrasing, gave him credit early in a show talking about everybody's snacks. And then I kept getting complimented for everybody's snacks. I'm like, it's not mine. I borrowed it. I work here, but it's Mike coined
it. What's mine is yours.
That's very polite. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Sal.
You got it.
That's Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
It's National Nachos Day.
Now, that's
I don't see any nachos.
That is something that deserves a day right there.
I don't see any nachos.
Nachos Day.
That's how you follow up an election day, with nachos.
Got to get some nachos.
Yeah. 803-0550. What do you think of the Colts? Is this a walkover? Is this a tough one? Please don't say trap game. What do you think? What do you think of the Colts? 803-0550. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog back after sports here. My phone just changed dad to capital D-A-S. What am I going to send Matthew Collar a text about Das Boot? This phone. Dad, I can't write dad and have it not changed to Das. Right now, caller 5 at 716-221-4WGR. That's 4947. Wins a pair of tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco at KeyBank Center next Saturday, November 16th, courtesy of Live Nation. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. I told you the one yesterday.
I sent a one-word swear text to some friends of mine, and for the first time ever, my phone didn't autocorrect that word to something else. Like
to DOS?
To duck, for instance.
I see.
This morning. I thought that was interesting. Like, what happened? Why do you know that that's what you always discourage me from using that sort of language, phone? But here we are this morning. Fine. All bets are off.
That word has been added to my phone's vocabulary.
Yeah,
but
why not? It's stunning.
But changing money.
Let alone how many times it's heard me say it, let alone typed it into my phone and had to correct it from duck. Yeah, you get the picture.
Changing money to Monet with a small M. I mean, I just don't. It doesn't make any sense what my phone
is
up to.
You know, my favorite one of these, if you'll allow here, just for one more little indulgence here before we get back to talking about the Colts or whatever we're doing. My wife and I will, like, she's at work, I'm at work, whatever. One or the other had gotten in the habit of texting, psst, I love you. Like, just psst. But so the first is P-S-S-T, psst, right?
Mm-hmm.
One time about 2 or 3 years ago when she did that to me, she was at work and I was here, it came pants.
Pants.
All caps.
Love it.
So now, like, now for us, like, that's our little thing now. Like, I'll do, pants. In the middle of the day, I just text her pants instead of psst. And I just love pants.
Works.
Yeah, pants.
Pants. Pants, always funny.
All caps with an exclamation point. Pants. It didn't have the exclamation point the time that she mistakenly sent me that, but I think it was all caps for some reason, which is a weird move by her phone.
You've added that.
And I added the exclamation point. But I said, like, did you mean to text me? Psst? And she's like, yep. So pants it is now.
Oh, boy. What are these phones doing to our brains?
Pants.
Here's Richard on WGR. Hello, Richard.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
Of course, I wanted to mention you. I caught a little bit of at the end of Sal just getting off of work. You asked our concerns going forward, and actually the concern that I have has been ongoing for almost the last month. This morning, Jeremy and Joe mentioned that the Bills like to be ran on.
Mm-hmm.
They rather give up the run than give up a long pass. My concern is 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage and 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. We're getting killed. They're running up the gut. I know they want them to run, but once they get the run going, then they start flipping it out to tight ends, flipping it out to running backs out of the backfield, and we don't have the horses to keep up with those guys. Matt Milano's not in there. Bernard's in and out. our linebackers, I mean, we had to call, you know, one guy off the couch last year. I mean, for us to run that kind of scheme or that kind of thought process where, yeah, just let them gash us for 200 yards up the gut as long as we don't give up, you know, touchdowns, it's going to bite us, especially when it comes to the Chiefs, who can do all of that. Mm-hmm. They can turn it to Kelce, turn it to Hunt, and then now they got D-Hop, which is, I don't know why we didn't do that. I mean, come on, look at him. He's a world beater out there now. He got new legs from somewhere. But my concern is really how we're allowing teams to dictate us and how we want to play and how we are going to approach the game.
Well, I hear you on it being a concern. I think my coworkers, Jeremy White and Sneaky Joe DiBiase from the morning show, have it exactly right. At least it lines up with how I view them, because I said the same thing yesterday or the day before. I think they want you to run it. Now, that doesn't mean, and by the way, they haven't given up 200 yards since maybe the last time they played the team they're playing this week.
It's just Baltimore.
Right. Baltimore
this year
ran all over them, for
sure.
It's
the only team that's gotten to 150.
Yeah. So that's how they are set up. I mean, and I don't know, where's the problem with the results? They're 7-2. I mean, I get it. Like, they want to be better at stopping the run. I'm sure Sean McDermott would tell you that, and not just in a coach-speaky kind of way. I think in private, like, yeah, I wish we were better at it. But if you're trading off what can hurt you more and what you're more worried about giving up, I think they're on the right side of this. I think the results speak for themselves. Sure, they will have weeks. Maybe this Sunday will be one where you actually, Richard, yourself might want to call us on Monday or even Sunday after the game and say, Bulldog, you told me not to worry about it. Yeah, I know. This guy could really sting them. He did the last time they played them. But I agree philosophically with what they are about doing. Would I like Oliver and Daquan Jones to do a better job in the middle of the line against some of that stuff? Absolutely. Bernard and Milano missing is a big deal. Bernard is back. Hopefully Milano gets back at some point. I think it's sound tactically. Taron Johnson's the best player, one of the best players on that entire defense. And guess who comes off the field if you change your philosophy? Like, he's not a linebacker. He's out there in place of a linebacker.
Well, I agree with really all this too. It's I think, Richard, you're a little bit kind of in different places, exaggerating the extent of the problem or the trouble they're having. Like, it's not 200 yards. I mean, Miami didn't run for 5 yards a carry, and they have Achan and a good passing. They couldn't get to 5 yards a carry. So I also think the Bills have it right. If you told me, well, I can't say this because it's probably game script dependent. I got Kansas City next week. I'm worried about Kareem Hunt. I couldn't be less worried about Kareem Hunt. I mean, I just couldn't care less about Kareem Hunt. They have Mahomes. I'm worried about him, and I don't want to lose to him. Every play where they hand the ball to Kareem Hunt, it should be a win for me. Even if it is 5 yards, I'll take it. And I think that goes the other way too, and it has for the last 5 years with the Bills. You play the Bills and they hand the ball to James Cook, yay for me. That's not going to hurt me. So, yeah, I mean, I know it's not going to be every play, but even this, Sneaky Joe had from DVOA, from Aaron Schatz, that the Bills run defense ranks highly.
Like sixth in the league, I think, by DVOA.
You know,
yes.
Yards per play, DVOA, total yards are giving up. They're like 11th maybe in the league. I don't think it's anything near a crisis. So if Kansas City wants to run the ball, good. If Indianapolis does, it's not as obvious because they don't have Mahomes. But I still think it's good. And I think if Indianapolis didn't have its head up, it's one of Bulldog's phone swear words, then they would have Richardson on the field in packages where I'd have to be a little bit sort of Baltimore savvy here. Mm-hmm, and like, mm-hmm. But they're just not a good organization at all. And they're, you know, they kind of suck. So I don't know. I think that it's a break for every team that they play, that at least to this point, we'll see if this week they would actually do that. But everything has been about how Richardson has been kind of banished. So I doubt I'll see it. But I like it for teams that have a running quarterback option to just make you a little bit less confident in what's coming defensively. But I don't know. I never played.
Right.
Seems kind of obvious.
I think we probably know where Flacco is going to be on Sunday.
In the pocket.
In the pocket, yeah. God help you if he tries to get out of there. God help him if he tries to get out of there, I should say.
Thanks, Richard. It's a popular sentiment, and I think you probably know that, and I don't know. I feel like it's overplayed. 803-0550, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, at 803-0550. Bills at Indianapolis, 1 o'clock Sunday. This will be, please correct me if you think I'm wrong here. I haven't looked it up, but Josh Allen's first game in Indianapolis. He was injured the last time the Bills played there. Maybe Derek Anderson played, or Peterman or something. I don't think it was Allen. He got hurt in Houston.
Right.
And they lost badly to the Colts. Now I have to look it up.
I'm going to beat you. I'm already on my way to the 2019 season. He was hurt in
18.
Oh, 18. Oh, so sorry. Now you're going to win.
Now, not looking.
Oh, okay.
Once you said you were going to win, I gave up.
Okay. Well, nice way to dig in. Yeah, that Indy game was the first game after the injury.
Anderson?
Yes, it is Derek Anderson. 175 yards passing. Oh boy. The leading rushers and receivers in this game are
for the Bills?
For the Bills. Well, yeah, yes. As it turns out, what's listed here is for the game, but they're both Bills.
Tashard Choice.
What a great guess.
Is that it?
I don't know, it's not it. Chris Ivory, I believe.
Chris Ivory.
Yes.
81
yards rushing.
That's a better guess.
Against the Colts, and the leading receiver, much more gettable, I think, than Ivory.
Deontay Thompson.
No.
Foster.
Benjamin.
Benjamin. All right. And is that Andrew Luck?
Let me crack the box score open. They lost 37-5.
37-5.
That is Andrew Luck.
The Bills have not had great luck against the Colts in recent outings. There's the Blizzard win the next year, but come on, nothing good here. 37-5, that Jonathan Taylor 5-touchdown game was the last time they played him here. There's a playoff win.
The Blizzard win was the year before.
17, okay, right.
Right.
Right. Joe Webb.
Right, no Allen. Right.
That's Peterman.
Yes, that is Peterman.
Oh, such a history.
But eventually Joe Webb.
Eventually Joe Webb. Eventually,
Deontay Johnson.
Thompson. Eventually tonight.
Damn it, I always do that. You just said his name a second ago, and I still did it. And I knew you had just said it. I'm like, I got to get this right. He just said it, and I still botched it. I'm so damaged.
Also tonight, Edmonton versus Vegas in hockey. Connor McDavid is back.
I am watching this game tonight.
I think it's a good idea.
Yes. I'm looking forward to it.
McDavid versus Eichel.
Right.
That used to matter to me.
Yeah.
Maybe it won't matter at all.
And him being back, that's awesome. So, yeah, that's hot. I'm really excited. And that is, I think, 8 o'clock or 8:30.
8:30.
It's not super late, so I'll be able to get there.
How about some reverse NFC power rankings?
Look at you.
Ready for that?
I'm always ready for that.
I am ready for that. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, back after sports here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.